Hi, my name is Becky and I'm an alcoholic. This is my home group and I'm celebrating 2 years tonight, so I won't talk for very long, but I just wanted to say thank you, you know, because this has been my home group since I got sober, and I think I said it last time I spoke, like, just nothing but blessings come out of this group. So I want to say thank you for my sobriety, thank you for all the relationships that have come back into my life, my family, my friends, you know, all the wrongs I had done and have been able to turn around. It's a lot from the hope and the strength and experience that I heard in here. So thank you. And the person that I chose to speak for me tonight is someone that was instrumental in my sobriety. She is a very close friend of mine, and especially last year around this time when I was getting a little funky in a transition period, you know, I leaned on her a lot for support. And she has a great story, and it's just been a pleasure to be able to grow in sobriety together. So I won't take up your time anymore, but Mia is going to speak for me tonight. So.
Hi, my name is Mia, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic addict, and I can't tell if the emotion I'm feeling right now is excitement or fear, but I'm truly honored to tell my story. I met Becky actually here, like she said, about a year ago, so it's definitely a divine friendship, and I'm just really honored that she asked me to speak tonight. I was born in a small town in Georgia, and have two brothers. I'm the middle, and there was never any alcohol in my home. My parents didn't really drink. My dad did drink, but not inside the house, so I never saw any drunkenness with my father. On the other hand, my grandfather was a closet alcoholic, and I know that there were two or three times that I can recall that he actually was in rehab due to his alcoholism, and usually it was times when it got so bad he would fall down, and, you know, it was just the last ditch effort for my grandmother to get help. And so he actually ended up dying many, many years later, an alcoholic. He never ever was able to achieve sobriety in his life, which is really unfortunate. And when I was in fifth grade, we started moving. I'm trying to condense everything so that I can get to the solution of my story. When I was in fifth grade, we started moving, and we moved probably six or seven times during that year, which was just a really unsettling time in my life. Moving from one state to another so many times in a two-year period was a little unsettling, to say the least. And when we moved back for like the sixth or seventh time back to my hometown, my dad did not move back with us. And so when I was in the eighth grade, my parents ended up getting divorced. And between that time, I had my first drink with a friend of mine, which actually was a bottle that I had stolen from my alcoholic grandfather. I took it to my girlfriend's house, and we drank, had a wonderful time. It was awesome. And the next day, got up and felt like crap and went to church, and everything was wonderful. And for many years after that, for a couple of years after that, I didn't really drink, but that was such a great time for me. Once I had the opportunity again to drink, I did. And I met a guy when I was in the ninth grade and started drinking with him regularly on the weekends. And it just became a routine thing for me for my life. It's just Friday night came and it was getting, let's get drunk. And that's what I did. I was the one person at all the parties. I had lots of friends. And I was the one person who always got drunk. And but everybody was drinking, so I kind of thought that it was normal. It was just a normal thing to do. But I drank different than everybody else. And so when I was in 11th grade, I ended up quitting school because not because I wasn't smart enough, but because my partying, my social life, you know, was more important to me than finishing school at the time. And my mom was trying to raise me and my two brothers by herself. My dad really wasn't present in our lives at that time, so I think that she just was overwhelmed at that place in her life. So she couldn't fight with me anymore about the whole, you know, lifestyle thing that I was doing. So from that time in my life, I just partied. That was just what I looked forward to, and then I started doing other drugs, you know, just kind of messing around with pot and whatever else was at a party. And so that just, it was just a normal way of life for me. I worked. I did kind of do some, I did get my GED. I did go to some tech school. I didn't finish tech school because, again, my drinking was more important. And so in 1994, actually, when I was 21 years old, I moved to Florida. And growing up in a really small town with not a lot to do except for drink, moving to Tampa was like huge for me. It was like, oh my gosh, party town. Ybor City was like one of the first places that I went to when I came here. So it was just this new way of life for me. Everybody partied, and it was the life. And so I met a guy right shortly after I moved here when I was 21 years old. And he was a drug trafficker, drug dealer in the mafia. And we moved in together, and I started really doing more, you know, than just drinking. My drinking was always, it was always the same. I drank pretty much regularly at that time. And when I say regularly, I mean like daily. And the other drugs were just kind of added to it. But we went, I feel it's important to say this because this is truly, to me, looking back at my life, I see how many times God actually saved my life. Because when I was 22 and we had been partying for one solid week at a friend's house, I finally, on the seventh day, said, I can't do this anymore. And so I had a friend take me home, and a friend took me home, and that next morning, I got a phone call from a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, that he had overdosed and died that night. So I know that it's, you know, the protection that God has over me in my life, that I survived. I wasn't there that night when he did that, thank God. But you would think that, you know, during that time, with all the things that went on, I had some incidences with a cartel that came in again. By the grace of God, I wasn't home the night that these guys came to my apartment to ransack it, to get whatever drugs were left over, whatever guns, whatever money from the day after he died. I happened to be spending the night with my mom that night, and they ransacked my apartment, went to a friend of mine, his house, and they beat him with a gun and duct taped him, stole his car, and just did a lot of really horrible things. And after that, you would think that you would stop, kind of, you know, have some sanity at that point, but I didn't. I kept doing it because in a weird way, it was like, I just had this discussion with somebody about how, you know, if you lose somebody that's close to you, there may be something that you do that kind of reminds you of that person, whether it's go have ice cream, something that you did together, go to a certain restaurant or whatever. Well, the thing that reminded me the most of him was drugs. So I did a lot of that to kind of escape the feelings that I had, you know, from losing somebody that I loved. And it's just horrible stuff. But anyway, and then when I was 22 during this time, and when I look at the events in my life, how quickly these things happen, I'm actually surprised. I haven't really sat down and looked at it until today in an order like this. But when I was 23 years old, I met my husband. I got married at 23. At 24 years old, I had a child. From 24, and when I was 26, I had my second son. And from 24 to 28 years old, I didn't drink, really. I didn't do anything at that time. But when I was 27 years old, I kind of picked up, you know, right where I had left off before I got pregnant. And I had a tattoo removed, and so I got a prescription for pain pills. And I started taking the pain pills and mixing the two because that was just the one way I didn't have to feel the pain from getting that removed. That was my excuse. And I continued with just an occasional pain pill prescription at the time, and drinking, you know, a lot. I know that you know, the two of those things are a deadly combination, and I continued doing that for quite a few years. When I was 28 years old, I was just drinking socially, taking the pills. I had two children, so I really wasn't out of control that much. I did have moments where on the weekends I would drink and party and get drunk and you know, do things stupid. The next day I would wake up and I would tell my then at the time husband, I really feel like I have a problem. I never had anybody in my life during this whole entire time in my life tell me that I had a problem or offer any solutions to me. I never had available to me a program like Alcoholics Anonymous. I truly did not even know that this thing existed until I actually, when I was... fast forward, 37 years old in 2010, after many years of divorce and many years later of heavy drug use and drinking, I finally in 2010 said I cannot do this anymore, and I checked myself into rehab. The people that were in my life didn't know that I had a problem because the people that were in my life had the same problem that I had. And my children, however, unfortunately, did have to see my drinking and my using, because what I did is I did it in my home in front of my children. I really wasn't a social, out in the open drinker partier. I mainly did it at home because I thought that way I wasn't really hurting anybody. In 2010, I actually, after picking up my children from school drunk every day and, you know, them just finally looking at me one day and asking me, like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Come to find out that they actually, that the first day that I picked them up and I was sober, they started a timer on their cell phones so that each day that I picked them up, they could tell me how many hours it had been since I was drinking, or they knew that, you know, I was doing something other than alcohol, because what was happening to me was not what was happening to other people who were just drinking. So, and I was drinking really heavily. I mean, from the time I woke up in the morning until the time I went to bed at night, it was my only source of liquid pretty much that I had. And I was functioning doing that. I was going to school. I was going to baseball games. I was going to doctor's appointments with my children. I was doing all the things that a mother does, but I was doing them drinking. And I really thought that no one knew. I thought that no one knew. I would chew gum, I would eat something, I would brush my teeth, and, you know, I figured people just thought that that's the way it was. And so, like I said, in 2010, I finally had enough after, you know, almost dying on several different occasions. I almost lost my life more than once. And I checked myself into rehab, and within like five days after I started getting clarity, I knew for a fact that I was never, ever, ever going to do that again. I knew that I was never going to drink again. And so I convinced them to let me leave. I knew every question. I knew every answer to every question that they were asking. They ran several different tests. I somehow passed all the tests because part of my character at the time was I was very manipulative. I was very sneaky. I was a good liar. I was good at what I did because I had been doing it since I was like 15 years old for the most part. And so they let me out of rehab. And I went into the program. At that time, I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, so I did have some foundation in the program at that point. After about 2 weeks of getting out, I knew that I could probably get away with taking prescription pain medication, but I wouldn't ever drink again because that was something that I knew was just bad. I knew that the drinking part was just bad, but I thought that I could do the other stuff and I would get away with that. So I did continue to do that for quite a few weeks, and then I decided to drink again. And so I drank consistently again for 2 solid years, from May of 2010 to May of 2014, and the damage that I caused during those years, and the times I almost drowned. I've fallen and hit my head by myself in my shower at night and blacked out, and, you know, just all the things that happen when you're drunk. And almost burned my house down. I woke up to, you know, my house just completely full of smoke and pop flames on the stove. And just accidents. I was running into things, picking my children up again from school and thinking that they didn't notice that I was drunk. I was running into curbs, hit my garage door while I was down. All this time I've got my children in the car with me. All this time I've got my 2 boys in the car with me. It breaks my heart this day to think about doing that to them. But
In 2012, when I came back into the program, I knew that I never wanted to do that again. I knew that I could not continue living my life with that way, because there were so many times that I almost died, and only by the grace of God am I alive standing here today, because I certainly should not be. And my two boys, they have loved me and they have supported me through each and every step of this way. I came into the program, I did what they told me to do, I got a sponsor, I worked the steps immediately within the first 30 days, and I love the part where they talk about we're not saints, because I certainly didn't do everything perfect, but I did exactly what they told me to do. My sponsor told me to get on my knees with her. She made me get on my knees in her living room one day, and I thought, I am not getting on my knees with you. I will not do that. And she said, you will do anything that I ask you to do if you want to stay sober. So, and she didn't ask a whole lot, but she did ask me to get on my knees with her, and I got on my knees, and she told me what to pray, and so I prayed the prayer that she told me to pray, and I stood up. And I looked at her, and I knew at that moment that my life was different at that moment. And she told me to do the steps. I started to, I admitted first that I was powerless, because I knew that the first time, I'm getting a little bit lost, the first time that I went into the program, I knew that I was powerless over alcohol. I knew that I couldn't live my life like that anymore, because I couldn't live my life like that anymore, but I did, because in the back of my mind, I thought that there was something I could do different this next time, that I could somehow control it, that I could maybe drink a different type of alcohol, I could, you know, maybe just drink at different times of the day, and I tried all of the control ways of drinking, and it's true what they say, it does get worse. It absolutely does get worse, and it did get worse for me. And so I continuously came to the program. I did the 90 meetings. I actually did more than 90 meetings in 90 days. And I worked the steps. And the one thing that stands out to me the most is the promises. And I brought the promises with me, because I want to read them, because I heard them. And I don't know how many of you in here are new, or if you've been here forever and you just hear the promises and they sound like words, because sometimes that happens to me and I have to, you know, hear things sometimes in a different way. I heard the promises every day for like the first, you know, few months that I was there, worked on all my steps with my sponsor, and it wasn't until I got to the ninth step that I actually heard the promises. That the promises had actually started to come true in my life. And if that's okay, do I have time? Do you have 10 minutes? Okay. I'm going to just read these for a second, because if you haven't heard the promises lately, then they do come true. Every aspect of the promises come true, and everything that is in here, I was the complete opposite of it. So the A promises, if number one, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. Two, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Three, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Four, we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Five, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Seven, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Eight, self-seeking will slip away. Nine, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. 10, fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. 11, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. I want to just say this. When I did the steps, and about 6 or 7 months into my recovery, I rededicated my life to Christ. And so I just I every day I still continue to get on my knees. I still continue to thank God and to ask Him that His will be done in my life and not my own, because my will gets me drunk, gets me almost dead, and hurts everybody around me. I had no security at the time. I was a very insecure person, not graduating from high school, and then trying to go to different colleges throughout my lifetime and not ever finishing because my partying was way too important for me, and education really didn't fit into that. I couldn't really think and party at the same time. So I continued to do that for many, many years, and I've never finished anything. Like, I would always have the best intention of starting something and not finishing it. And the one thing that this program has taught me is that my disease does not define me as a person. And my parents and what their issues were in my life do not define me as a person. Now that I have this relationship with God, and He is first in my life, and this program, I follow this program, I do step 10 every single day of my life. At the end of the day, I try to live it. And because of this program, I have found a new relationship, and the relationship is not all about me anymore. It's about what I can do for other people. It's about how I can be of service to God and to others, and to share my story, my experience, strength, and hope, and to say that even though I didn't have a whole lot of support, it seems like, when I was a little girl growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of direction. My parents, my mom, like I said, was trying to raise three children on her own, and my dad wasn't very present. I get lost. Sorry. Even though I didn't have a lot of direction in life, and even though I had to fall quite a few times in my life, and get back up, continuously get back up, and just make sure that each day I give God all the credit. You know, I do the next right thing. I don't live in the past. My past, like I said, does not define me as a person. Today, I'm happy to say that because of this program today, my children respect me. They love me as a mother. My ex-husband and I have a wonderful relationship. My parents and my brothers, all of my friends, everybody who was important to me in my life, and that's the one thing that this program did for me, is it weeded out all those people in my life that I thought were important, but that were really not important. They were either there to use me, or, you know, I don't even know what their motives were, but they weren't friends. They were not friends of mine, and God has brought some amazing people due to this program in my life. I met my husband in this program. I just finished my first year of school. I plan to continue to go back to be a Christian life coach, and without this program, I cannot tell you where I'd be today, and I am truly grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm sure there's many things that I left out, but I hope if one person can just have some hope that no matter where you're at in your life or where you've been, it does not define what your future will be. Let God tell you what your future will be and just go from there and stay sober. Thanks.